We're holding in Parak Daled. We are approximately, we're in the middle of the parak, so I'll give a little background about what's going on. But we're going to go from Pasuk Yud Aleph. Of Shmuel Aleph.
I know, I was like, it's a long parak. I was like, parak Aleph. I was like, then it's not.
So what has happened? So Shmuel is a Navi. He just sort of emerged as a Navi. And his first Nevuah, his first prophecy is about the sons of Eli, that really the descendants of Eli are not going to live to old age. There's a preceding prophecy that's given to Eli, Eli's the Kohen Gadol, by Elkanah, Shmuel's father, that something great and terrible is going to happen. It's understood to be the taking of the Aron, and that the sons of Eli are going to die. And sure enough, last week we read about these events, that Bnei Yisrael goes to war against the Plishtim, and they are losing, and they say, what can we do? Let's go get the Aron. Because if we have the Aron with us, then Hashem will protect us, because he's going to protect the Aron. And as the Malbim points out, it's not enough, you know, just to rely on the Aron. You have to change yourself. You have to do tshuva. And the people at that time were not of great spiritual quality. They were involved in worshipping Pesel Micha, according to some of Farshim, about when that took place. That Pesel Micha, this idol, actually it's clear that they were still doing it, because the Pasuk says whether the story of Pesel Micha took place at the beginning of Shoftim or at the end of Shoftim, there is an explicit Pasuk that they continued to worship Pesel Micha the whole time that the Aron was still in Shiloh. So now the Aron is still in Shiloh, it means they're still worshipping this Pesel Micha. People are not on a high spiritual level, and so they deserve to be punished. They don't do tshuva, so the Aron is not going to help them. And indeed, this also, by the way, was a way of drawing out Chassi and Pinchas, who had been also done their own averos in the Mishkan as Kohanim, and by bringing the Aron, so they brought the Kohanim to escort the Aron, and that's how they ended up in the battlefield and met their demise. So that's Pasuk Yud Aleph, Perek Daled, Va'aron Elokim Nilkach, the Aron was taken by the Plishtim. Plishtim captured the Aron. Ushnei v'nei Eli Mesu, Chafni u'Pinchas, the two sons of Eli died, those being Chafni and Pinchas. Pasuk Yedbeis Vayorot Ish Binyamin Meha Ma'aracha, and a man from Binyamin ran from the Ma'aracha, Vayavo Shilo Bayomahu, and he came to Shilo on that day, Umadav Kruim, and his clothes were torn, Vadamo Al Rosho, and he had dirt on his head, and these were signs of mourning. Already upon arrival, people just looking at him could see that this man is in mourning and that he's bearing bad news. Now, who was this Ish Binyamin? There's a fascinating medrash that says that this man was Shaul, who was going to become king. He's from the tribe of Binyamin. And the medrash actually goes on, and it says, Rashi brings it, this was Shaul, Shechatap Esaluchos Miyad Goliath Ubarachlo. He grabbed the luchos from Goliath, the giant of the Plishtim, and he ran with them. So the luchos were with the Aron, in the Aron, on the side of the Aron, but Machlokes, I think, where they were stored exactly. But when the Plishtim captured the Aron, it seems that they realized the luchos were there. Goliath either was holding the Aron or holding the luchos, and somehow Shaul got in there and grabbed the luchos and brought them back. It's interesting, just sort of ironic, you know, Goliath, of course, is going to rear his head again when with David and Goliath, when Shaul is king and they need and Goliath with the Plishtim is threatening the Jews, and it's David HaMelech who kills Goliath and really gets a name from that event and marry Saul's daughter, and there's a lot of interplay here. So, but here, Saul, according to the Medrash, grabbed the Luchos. It's not even clear where this if there's any implication with Sukkim. I think later there's going to be a little bit of a diuk from a Malbim we'll see, we'll come to. But otherwise, just an interesting medrash. There's a sefer that they quote in the Likud Sfarim. It's called like Shaul Zechir Yisrael or something. It's a sefer all about Shaul, and he gives like a very like not like a novel type of like meaning like a book, like a description of what must have happened when Shaul went in and how brave this act was and how they captured the Aron and Shmuel. And Shaul certainly, you know, if he had asked the Sanhedrin, they would have told him not to do it, to risk his life, to save the Luchos, but no, he went anyways and he went into camp and he got out and it's just a very, like, you know, exciting description of
what the sefer called?
I think like Shaul Bechir Yisrael, something like that. It's quoted by this sefer, this Navi, like this is like a contemporary sefer that quotes a lot of different things. It's quoting another one on my Likud Sfarim. So, just a, like, I can read it to you, but it's like, it's almost like a book, like, you know, and he wipes the sweat off his brow and he, I don't know if it's that detailed.
It's like,
but,
it's like a more modern sefer.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think the point of the sefer, just what I gathered from this, is to try to bring out. Now, Saul kind of has a bad rap because of a lot of, you know, things that happened later in his life, but I think whoever made the sefer, wrote the sefer, wants us to appreciate the greatness of Saul. You know, he was chosen to be king, you know, not for, it wasn't, you know, for no reason. And, right, we're going to read, I think it says that he was, you know, head and shoulders above everyone, and that's not just in height, but in stature, spiritual stature. So here, yeah, Saul was a great person, and here you have a show of the amazing Mesiras Nefesh that he had, which, to bring the Luchos back. Yeah. Started out all right. Okay, so Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayavo, and he came. Vine Eli Yoshev al Hakisei Yad Derech Mitzape, and Eli was sitting on a chair by the side of Derech Mitzape. Mitzape means to like hope for. Derech is the way. So where was he? He was sitting somewhere where like. You know, you sort of look for people who are coming, looking for news, like the hoping place. So basically a place, an overlook, an outlook, somewhere where he could see people coming and hope to hear news of the war. However, the pasuk goes, oh, ki hayo libo chared al aron ha'elokim, because he was his heart was scared, was trembling over the fate of the aron. V'ha'ish bo lahagid ba'ir. However, the man came to tell him the city, and Farshim understand this to mean he circumvented Eli. He didn't. He came a different way. I don't know if he knew where Eli would be. He clearly didn't want to bring the bad news to Eli right away. Eli is an older man, as we're going to see. And whether he knew which way to enter the city or he didn't know, he managed to go a different way and avoid Eli. Vatizak Kohair, and when the people saw him, so they all cried out because they saw that he was in mourning. Even before he opened his mouth, they saw that there was, you know, he was going to be bringing some bad news. Vayishma Eli es kolat ve'aka, and Eli heard the sound of the crying. Vayomer, and he said, Me kol ha'hamon hazeh, what is the sound of this multitude? The ha'ish mihar, and the man hurried. Vayavo, vayagedu Eli, and he came and he told Eli. So you're going to see exactly how he tells it in a moment. But seemingly he's first telling the city. Now, the Malbim points out that nobody wanted to tell Eli what happened, because, I mean, we're going to see, he's going to die from this. And so for good reason, nobody wanted to be the bearer of the bad news. The Malbim also understands that even this messenger, who is going to tell him the news, was being very careful and didn't really want to tell him, or not at first at least, and he was trying to break the news to Eli in the softest way. So he says that's why the pasuk points out that it says to Ish Mihar, the man hurried, that since he was called in a hurry, so he thought that Eli had already heard what had happened and was just looking for the details, and he didn't realize that he was that Eli actually had no clue. Right, remember, as the pasuk describes, the Malbim says, there was a great crying in the city. The guy came, he was clearly mourning, it seems he told them what had happened, and people were crying out, and he assumed that if Eli was calling for him and asking, you know, what happened, he was, not that he hadn't heard what happened at all, he had heard what happened, and now he wanted the details of it. And that's what this man thought, Shaul, or whoever it was. So the pasuk says that Eli ben Tishim Ushmona Shana. Eli was 98 years old. The Einav Kama, and his eyes were standing. So the Yachol Viros, and he wasn't able to see. His eyes were standing, meaning if a person can see, so then their eyes are always, you know, moving around because we're trying to see, you know, peripheral, straight. We're looking at different things. But a person who can't see, so his eyes remain stationary. So Eli at this point could not see. And and that's also, I think, an explanation of why a part of the shock value here, because as I mentioned before, the man had ashes on his head and he had his clothes torn. So the people, as soon as they saw him, they realized, you know, something was wrong. Eli couldn't see him, he was blind. So he didn't really know what was coming. I guess he seems he had heard, you know, a hubbub and maybe even some crying, but he didn't really know the extent of what was going on. So what happened? Okay, so what happened? Pasuk Tazayin, Vayomer Ha'ish El Eli, and the man said to Eli, Anochi Haba Min Hamaracha, I am the one who came from the battlefield, Va'ani Min Hamaracha Nasti Hayom, and I today fled the battlefield. Vayomer, and he said, Mehaya Hadavar Bini, and he said, what was the matter, what happened, my son? So the Malbim actually says that this is where, this pasuk is where Chazal got this idea, maybe explicitly in the Medrash, I don't know, but I didn't see the Medrash. But the Malbim says that where they got the idea that Shaul went to get the Luchos, because there's a redundancy in this pasuk. It says, I came from the battlefield, and I fled from the battlefield today. So I think on a pasuk level, the Malbim explained that what he was telling him, nothing to do with the Luchos, but on a pasuk shot level, he was just saying, you know, I'm from the battlefield, and don't think that, like, you know, I don't have my news straight because I forgot something because it was a while ago. No, and I ran from the battlefield today. So what I'm telling you is still fresh in my mind. I haven't forgotten anything. And that's what the Malbim says on a pasuk level, what the redundancy here was. I came from the battlefield, and I fled from there today. So I know exactly what I'm saying. Right. The Gemara brings the same Medrash brings like a whole machlokas of exactly how far it was. But right, and so the Malbim says over here, Chazal say that it was Shaul, and that he came to Shiloh at first, and then he didn't know, says the Malbim, that the Aron had been captured. So he came to Shiloh, he heard that the Aron was no longer here, he went back to get the Luchos, stuck into the camp, took the Luchos, and ran back to Shiloh on the next day. Yeah. So they bring that down? Right. There is a medrash.
Three different versions.
Of how far he ran. Right.
60 miles.
Mill, but yeah. Fine, right. So, right. So,
like, one thing if he was there, according
to one opinion, he wasn't there. And he went to.
The second opinion was in Philo. He ran the man got under 20. According to the third opinion, he was there. He ran back with it. Heard that the arc was taken from the back and came back.
Okay. Interesting. Right. I saw that there were different opinions as to how far he ran. I didn't realize how it fit into the, where depending on where he started. Okay, interesting. Right? So Mr. Gadol is pointing out there are three opinions in the Medrash as to how far Shaul ran. One says 60 mil, one says 120 mil, and one says 180 mil. According to the opinion that it was 60 mil, it's like he was at the battlefield, took the thing he ran to Shiloh. According to the opinion that it was 120, because he was in Shiloh, he wasn't at the battlefield. He heard that the Aron was captured, he ran to the battlefield, he ran back, that's 120. And according to the opinion that it was 180, that fits with this Malbim, reading into this Pasuk, that he was at the battlefield, he didn't know the Aron was captured, he came back to Shiloh, he heard the Aron was captured, he went back, got the Luchos, and then came back to Shiloh. That's 180 mil. Very interesting. Okay. What happened? Pasuk Yud dying by Yan HaMevaser, and the Mevaser, the announcer, answered, seemingly referring to the same person. I think some of Farshim learned it was someone else. But let's assume, I think on a Pasuk level, that it was still this person. And let's assume that this person was Shaul by Yomer. And he said, Nas Yisrael lifnei Plishtim, the Jewish people have fled from in front of the Plishtim. The Gam Magefa Gedola Haisavam, and a great plague has struck the nation. The Gam Shnei Vanecha Meisu, and also your two sons have died. Chafni Yupinchas, the Aron Elokim Nilkacha, and the Aron was taken. So he's building up in order of, most easily accepted, most the easier news up to the harder news, and apparently the hardest news, even harder than hearing that his sons had died, would be to hear that the Aron was taking. And indeed, you see that in the next pasuk, Vayehi kaz kiro es Aron ha'elokim, and it was when he mentioned the Aron, at that moment, Vayipo me'alachise achoranis, Ve'ad yad hashar, and he fell off his chair, backwards, next to the yad hashar, the side of the gate, Vakishaver mafrakto vayomos, and his mafrakis, which I think is like a neck bone or something, broke, and he died. Kizaking ha'ish bechaved, because the man Eli was elderly and he was heavy. Shabbatus Yisrael arba'im shana, and he had judged Israel for 40 years. So we have a lot of details in this pasuk as to exactly what happened. So first of all, his death is going to come from falling off a chair, not from like the shock value. There is one, someone I saw, one of the Farshim, talks about how a person can die from, from hearing bad news. They could die from good news, from bad news. Okay, it's more of like a heart attack, type of death. And okay, so over here though, because the messenger broke the news to him in small increments, so he was able to avoid that, and he did not die from the the heartbreak, from the heart attack. However, he was still shocked, which caused him to fall off the chair, and that's how he met his death. And the pasuk is pointing out all the reasons why this happened, why he died from this. The Malbim points this out. He was zaken, he was elderly, he was chaved, he was heavy, and who shabbat as he strong arba'im shana, and he had judged for 40 years. He was a tired man. He had worked like crazy for 40 years, and he was weakened as a result. And therefore, he was weak, and he died from this occurrence. Okay. So that is the death of Eli the Kohen Gadol. The next few psukim are going to talk about a different person's death, the daughter-in-law of Eli, the wife of Pinchas. Before we do that, so we'll talk about Gilgulim for a second. So the Rambam Itano mentions sort of in a group of other Gilgulim that he's talking about. He just throws in that that Eli was a Gilgul of Aaron HaKohen. He doesn't explain anything about that. But in the Perish on there, so they bring a couple of other Sfarim who talk about the same idea. And so they say the Sefer Shemeng HaTov brings down that that we don't find so first of all, right, we don't find that Aaron was really punished for his involvement in the Egel Azov. Right? Aaron helped to make the Egel. You know, of course he was the same Shemayim in his Gavin, but still, right? Again, he was never punished. On the other hand, we don't really find that Eli himself had a an Avera in his hand. We've spoken about how he should have rebuked his sons. He should have been more, you know, his sons, they are theirs, and he maybe didn't take care of that. Maybe that's a problem with Eli, but because we don't really find that Eli had a specific Avera in his hand. And yet, here we have him dying in this manner, seemingly being punished. So he says, I think this is the Seder Adoros, says that that Eli was receiving the punishment for Aaron HaKohen, and they make a connection between the words that Aaron tells the people, "Parku nizmei hazav, remove your gold rings," and that's how they end up making the ego, and that's Aaron's instruction, Aharon's instruction, and makes a connection between that and mafrekes, that Eli dies from his mafrekes, his, again, what is it, the neck, bone, what are they translate, what, his neck, yeah, so it's the same Shoresh. I don't know what the connection is between the word mafrekes and parku nizmei hazav, remove your gold ring. One of the mafarshim on Gilgulim makes the connection. And he says,
you read about Gilgulim?
What?
You read about Gilgulim?
I'm always the expert.
He likes Gilgulim, so I try to keep my customers happy.
He's got a whole paper, and it's different than the
So there's, and they have a payer sign which brings in other Sfarim, so you know, often the Likud Sfarim will mention these things that also. So it's a fascinating thing. So that's a separate a different piece. I might have it with me, but that Chosni and Pinchas were Gilgulim of Nadav and Avihu. That's a different discussion. They also say that his falling from the chair is a remez to the breaking of the luchos, which resulted from, even though it was Moshe who broke them, but it resulted from Aaron's actions that caused the egel, which caused the luchos to be broken, and so sort of the punishment for that, the retribution is that Eli, in a Gil, you know, Aaron HaKohen in a Gilgul, and Eli falls from his chair and shatters his neck, just as the luchos were shattered. Okay. Pasuk goes on. V'kalaso eishes Pinchas hara lalas. and his daughter-in-law, meaning Eli's daughter-in-law, the wife of Pinchas, was pregnant to give birth, or she began to give birth. She was beginning to give birth. Batishma. Sorry, not right. She was finished her time. She was due. Batishma says Shmua, and she heard the news. El halikach, el hilakach, Aaron ha'elokim, on the news that the Aaron had been taken. Umay Chamiya Ve'isha, and that her father-in-law had died, and that her husband had died. Batichra Batayled, and she crouched down and she gave birth. Nefku Aleha Tireha, because her pain had been switched. Because her pains had been switched. So, oh boy, okay. Yeah. So what is this?
They typically did not see the fucking college, did not see each other before the marriages were arranged. They did have arranged marriages.
Okay. Yeah, so there's like these words, Kinatqualtireha. So some understand it has to do with her anatomy, that something was switched inside that caused her to get birth. There is an interesting way to read this pasuk, that her tzaros had been switched around, meaning that which pained her had been switched around.
So the pain of giving birth was the pain of bad news.
I guess that could be, but they say like this. They say, right, we know, as we mentioned before, that when it came to Eli HaKohen, so what was the order that they presented the news? So they presented the news. First they said that, you know, we lost the war, and your sons were killed, and the Aron was taken. So why did they tell them that order? Because they were building up. The worst news was going to be that the Aron was taken. And even that didn't help, right? All right. So over here, though, they thought. They thought that the worst news for her to hear would have been that her husband had died. So they told her the news in that order. If you look at the pasuk, so it says that first they told her that the Aron was taken, then they told her that her father, Meis Chamiya, her father had died, and then that her husband had died, because they thought that that would be the worst news for her. But Nefko Lepsira, they flipped around that which pained her. And as a result, she did die from shock. This did shock her into labor and to die from that, because they told her the worst news first, which was that the Aron was taken.
But then for her, like, her husband dying, it's different. But then her husband dying is like...
So that's what they thought. They thought that would be the worst. Right. They thought that would be the worst news for her. But Nefkalatzira, they flipped around what would pain her, because really the worst news was that the Aram was taken. The Sama Farshim Aram. Because her husband.
No, they're still like. The women, too, they're masters of the Aram.
Oh, okay. Okay. Musa, and it was when she died, and those who were standing around her said, Al-Tiri, do not be afraid, Kiveng Yalat, because you have given birth to a son, Velo Ansa, she didn't answer, Velo Shasa Levi, didn't settle her heart. They were trying to calm her down, and in her death, at her moment of death, Batikra Lanar, and she named the child Ichavod. They called him, she called him Ichavod. There's no honor, or where's the honor? Lamar saying, Gala Chavod in Israel. The honor in Israel has been exiled. El Hilakach Aron Ha'elokim, because the Aron of Hashem has been taken. The Elchamiyah of the Isha, and because of her father-in-law and her husband. So there's two things causing her to mourn here. And two things that she thinks are exiling the honor in Israel. There's no more honor because the Aron was taken, and her father-in-law and her husband. So the Malbim explains that she's talking here about two ideas of two carriers of Torah. Right, the Aron held the Luchos. That represents. I think there's a Sefer Torah there also. That's Torah Shebichtav. The way the Torah Shebichtav has been taken, and also there's the concept of that the Talmid Chachamim are the holders of Torah Shebal Peh, and the Luchos, Kisva Luchos Luach Libecha Raya on the tablets of your heart, that's Torah Shebal Peh, and you have the Aron as the host of Torah Shebichtav, and her father-in-law and husband as the host of Torah Shebal Peh, and she's saying, there's no honor left in Israel because Torah has been taken from us. But then she says, Vatomer, and she said, Gala Chavod Miyisrael, Inilkach Aron HaElokim. She repeats herself and she says, the honor of Israel has been sent to exile because the Aron has been taken. The way the Malbim says it, why does she switch now to just one thing? Previous pasuk she mentioned both the Aron and her father-in-law and husband, and now she just mentions the Aron. So one could learn, the Sabbath learns this way, that she's, those were two general things, but the main thing, the Iker, Golos, the Iker, exile of the honor of Israel is because the Aram was taken. The Malbim says, no, she is now restating what she said before and saying that really both the Aron itself, the physical Aron, and the Talmid Chachamim are both can be described as the Aron, because they're both holders of Torah. One holds Torah Shebichtav, one holds Torah Shebal Peh, but they're both holders of Torah, and therefore, she could sum it up in just one statement, really. The honor of Israel has been sent into exile because the Aron has been taken. The Aron includes both the Aron, the physical Aron, which holds the Luchos, as well as the Talmid Chachamim, which hold the Torah Shebal Peh. And that is the end of the pasuk, the end of the parak. So, one other thing I want to just discuss is that we have here the event of his death, the daughter-in-law's death, and the Aron being taken. Now, what happens to Shiloh after this? Now that the Aron's been taken, Eli has died. Is Shiloh still is the Mishkan going to continue to be in Shiloh? So, it's not clear in the Navi what happens after this. We don't find any mention of Shiloh after this as the place of the Mishkan. It doesn't say that anything happened to Shiloh. The next time there's a Mishkan, it seems it's already in Nov. It's going to be the next house of the Mishkan. What we also have is we're going to see people are going to be bringing karbanos on bamos, on random mizbechos, random altars in different places. So it's just not clear exactly what happened. So there's a Mishnah in Zvachim. The Mishnah says that that when they came into Eretz Yisrael, so they had bamos in different places, and hutra bamos, you were allowed to bring karbanos on mizbechos, you know, home, you know, in your backyard, basically, backyard bamos. However, the Mishnah says that bo l'shilo nesru habamos. When they came to Shilo, the bamos were forbidden. Then it says that the bo l'nov givon, when they came to Nov and Givon, then hutru habamos. Then once again, bamos were permitted. So doesn't also not clear what happened, you know, what happened in between, but that's what it says. Rashi there comments, when they came to Nov and Givon, kishechar v'shilo, when Shilo was destroyed, the Nilkacha Aron b'mei Eli, and the Aron was taken in the days of Eli, bo l'nov v'givon, they came to Nov and Givon. There's no mention of this destruction of Shilo, and Shilo seems to be standing right now, you know, when they come back. But apparently Shilo was destroyed when the Aron was taken at during this Tekufa, this time period, and then they're gonna set up the Mishkan in Nov and in Nov, and also Hutra Bamos will now be permitted, and that's why we're gonna find the next Prakim people bringing Karbanos on different Bamos. There is a discussion about the destruction of Shilo and Tehillim. It says in Tehillim, Ayin Ches, it says, that they angered Hashem with their bamos, with their mizbechos and their sileim and their idols, seemingly a reference to Pesel Micha, the idolatry that was going on at this time. Shama Elokim, Hashem heard, Vayisaber, Vayimas Mod Vayisrael, he was angry, he was disgusted by Israel. And then says the pasuk in Tehillim, "Vayitosh Mishkan Shilo," and he destroyed the Mishkan of Shilo. Destroyed the Mishkan. So it doesn't say against Shmuel, but apparently the Mishkan of Shilo was destroyed. This is in Tehillim. Tehillim Ayin Ches, chapter 78. So the Ibn Ezra over there, and I think a couple of the other Mepharshim, they say, what does it mean that Shilo was destroyed? It doesn't mean Shilo. It doesn't mean, the Mishkan. When it says that the Mishkan was destroyed, it doesn't mean the Mishkan was destroyed. It means the Aron. The Aron was taken. We don't find that the Mishkan was destroyed. It's referring to the Aron. But Rashi in Zvachim, and apparently there's a Medrash that says it. No. When at this time period, the city of Shilo, the Mishkan, was destroyed by the Plishtim. There's another Gemara, and the Gemara also, another Gemara that references... What? I guess so. So what happened? So there's a Gemara in Yuma. The Gemara says, why was Shilo destroyed? So again, we don't have an actual statement anywhere besides, well, we have this mention in Tehillim that Shilo was destroyed, but some of our Shemorna that that's referring to the Aron. But the Gemara says, no, Shilo was destroyed. Why was it destroyed? So it says, because of two things, Gilo Yarayos and Bizayon Kachin. Impropriety, sexual impropriety, and disgracing of holy things of the Kachin of the Beis HaMikdash. And it's referring to, as the Gemara goes on, to the Averos of the sons of Eli, Hophni, and Pinchas. So the Gemara seems to be saying that the Mishkan was destroyed, Shilo. Why was it destroyed? Because of Hophni and Pinchas. On the other hand, I just read to you from Tehillim, it seems to say in Tehillim that the reason was Hashem got angry because of Bamosam to Silaim, because they were worshipping idols. Right? In fact, there's another Gemara in Sanhedrin that talks about how the smoke from the altars that they used to worship the Pesel Micha, it was only a short distance from the Mishkan, and the smoke actually like met up with the smoke of the Mizbeah. And so you had these two things going on at the same time. You had the Mishkan operating, but you had people worshiping idols. And that, according to Tehillim, seemingly, the reason why the Mishkan Shilo was destroyed. So how do we reconcile these two things? On the one hand, we have, was it the idolatry, the Pesel Micha, or was it the sins of the B'nai Eli? So the Mishkan Zav suggests the answer he suggests that as long as the Kohanim and the Mishkan were, you know, doing their job properly, then that served as a protection for the Jewish people, even though they were involved in Avera, in worshiping Pesach Mitzvah in this idolatry. However, once the service in the Mishkan was no longer roi, was no longer proper, and as it should have been, and hagun, so at that point, they could no longer, not only did not protect themselves, they were killed because of it, but they certainly could not provide protection for all of Israel for the sins of the Jewish people. And that's why, up till now, the Mishkan was able to stand, even though they were involved with Pesach Mitzvah. But once the Kohanim went sour, once Tzafi and Pinchas got involved in what they were doing, in Gilui Arayis and Shechita and Bizayon Kachim, whatever exactly they were doing, which we've discussed, at that point, their protection was no longer there, and the Mishkan was destroyed. Okay, I think we're going to hold there. Yeah.